brand-new refurbished town hall. Welcome you, and also our guest speaker, Inspector Antonio Weeks, who's coming to address us this evening. We'll start off with our usual opening. Minutes of the meeting at the Exmoor Town Council, Monday the 8th of January 2018, in Exmoor Town Hall, meeting at 7:15. Can we take apologies, please?
Richard Scott.
Apologies from Councillor Mark Williamson, Councillor Christine Norton, Councillor Steve Gazzard, Councillor Brenda Taylor, Councillor Pauline Garbutt, Councillor Richard Scott.
Christine Shannon.
Christine isn't a councillor of this, you know, member of this council.
Councillor Terry Darville.
Right, thank you very much. We have no public attending this evening, so there's no public forum. Can we take the council meeting minutes, please, of the meeting on Monday the 27th of November? Can we just go through them? Page 181. Page 182. Page 183. Page 184. Page 185. Page 186. And 187.
Can I just correct? Sorry, I haven't seen one thing. 185.
185, yeah.
Under local bodies, that should read the Fair Trade Foundation.
Fair Trade Foundation, not group.
Yeah, not corporation.
Oh, right.
The Fair Trade Corporation is the Fair Trade Foundation.
Sure, let's see here. Right, apart from that amendment, are you in agreement that's a fair record of the meeting, please? There's that show. Thank you very much. Any matters arising from council meeting? No issues, right. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Members are to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Maddy, please.
Yes, Brixington Church grant. The pastor and his wife are friends of mine, and I also requested that they put in the request to Town Council for support on the fact that they are such a good to the community.
Cherry?
Same.
The same. And myself for Brixington Free Church.
Emily.
And Jeff. Thank you very much. To resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two of the agenda, there is no requirement for that. I'd like members' agreement to bring item 9 forward now to introduce Inspector Weeks, if that's agreeable. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Over to you then, Antonio.
Evening, everyone.
Thank you for having me here tonight at your town council meeting. I just thought it was timely for me to come and give another sort of brief update and obviously allow you the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have as regards policing in the Exmouth area. One thing I did want to give you an update on, now we're out the other side of Christmas, is you're probably aware before Christmas that we were dealing with a fairly problematic group of young people within the town, which kind of was a result of a sort of perfect storm of factors that led to that group and their offending. I'm confident that we've dealt with that appropriately, and we certainly identified a number of criminal offences that the group had committed, either as a group or as individuals. I don't really want to go into too much detail because they are probably known in and around the town fairly well and are easy to identify, and it would be inappropriate of me to say too much that led to individuals being readily identified for what they've done. But it's suffice to say that we have taken a number of them to court with the support of the youth offending team, and they have received sanctions for the offending that they have committed. And there's various other offences in the pipeline at the moment that will lead to further court appearances and further sanctions. Some of those sanctions include a restriction on who they can associate with, what time they can be out, and whether they can come into the Exmouth area at all. Some of them have since moved away from the Exmouth area and therefore shouldn't be here. There's further powers for us to deal with them if they break those court orders. We've also been successful in obtaining a criminal behavioural order for one of them, CBO in shorthand. That's the new ASBO, if you like, and it is can be granted to someone when they are found guilty of a criminal offence. So we're hoping that will further curtail any future offending. What was quite unusual about this group was certain of the individuals continued to offend despite being dealt with by police, and that's something that is relatively unusual for us. So we were sort of playing catch up on previous offences and then dealing with new ones sort of on a daily basis. But I'm confident that the action we've taken has curtailed their activity. There will still be young people committing crime in Exmouth. It's a large town with young population, a proportion of the population is young as well, and we will continue to deal with it appropriately. We don't rush to criminalise young people, and there are out-of-court disposals that we use in preference, but this group, their offending was at such a level that we went straight in with the court process. I'm also aware that at the time there's quite a lot of talk in the town, if you like, and there were certain things that happened in the town that were attributed to this group. Not everything that happened was due to this group or the individuals. There were other people committing crime at the same time, so they kind of gathered their own momentum that perhaps they didn't quite deserve, although they were pretty active. The other thing that I'm aware of that came off the back of this was I saw various things on sort of social media about, well, it's no surprise there's no police in Exmouth anymore. Can I, it's just an appeal for me to yourselves. This appears to be, and it's been going on for years, this myth that there's no police in Exmouth, there's no police station, the police station is shut, where are they all? The police station is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We work out there operationally. Yes, it was closed to the public. There's no public access or public counter service, but the police station is not shut. We are in Exmouth. If you ever get the chance to dispel that myth or rumour, I'd be really grateful because I can't seem to shift it. So that aside, we'll see what the new school term brings in respect of our youth. We've been working really positively with the school. They've been really supportive. We're really engaged with them on a number of factors, particularly identifying young people who may be at risk of going down the wrong path and diverting them away from that. And our youth intervention officer, Simon Evans, is particularly supportive of that whole mechanism, particularly linked in to being able to do that. So that is really good on that. As regards other offending, other crime in the area, that is pretty stable. The figures don't suggest that because they reflect our more accurate crime reporting. But the actual criminality, if you like, is pretty stable. It's just we record more and we record more accurately. In particular, vehicle offences have reduced substantially over the past few weeks or months, and they had spiked, which is again due to various individuals that were in the area. That's more or less been sorted for various reasons, so we're starting to see that level of crime come down. Burglary dwelling is also down 20% on what it was this time last year, which again is good because that's a really impactive crime on the victim. So where that can come down, that is good. We are seeing a bit more of an increase around shoplifting, which is probably to be expected at this time of year, but does link into possible, it's low level acquisitive crime. We're always wary of or tuned into the fact that the people committing that crime might be doing that to support addictive habits, either drug or alcohol, and all the other social problems associated with that. So we look at a sort of holistic approach to that where we can. Again, we work sort of closely with other partners, such as Open Door, in kind of managing the people who are at risk of offending and so on and so forth. On that, we've had some successful drug seizures in the last few months, and also a couple of evictions of people who were associated with that sort of behaviour to the annoyance of their neighbours and local residents. Unfortunately, one of the people we did work with, the Housing Association, to evict from the premises where he was annoying his neighbours, popped up in a tent on the Strand. Yes. And that's it. We'll solve a problem like that for the, you know, make the immediate area better for those people and neighbours. But of course, the people don't disappear into thin air. They move somewhere else or pop up somewhere else. And in this case, in a tent on the Strand. So that was interesting, actually. We sort of worked with the council to sort of do that properly, if you like. And then, to be honest, ran out of patience and just got rid of it. So that was a good result in the end, but I do admit that it's probably a couple of days too long in that, but we'll look at doing that a little bit differently next time. On that, it was actually within the PSPO area and the Public Space Protection Order. And so we have issued, I think, 2 or 3 tickets under the PSPO since it's been in force, which is good and appropriate. So we're working really closely with EDDC on that. So I think that is probably about right, and we'll look at how that sort of develops over the next few months and whether that is the right power to have in place. But certainly it does give us an extra sort of string to our bow, if you like. As regards resources, or my policing team in Exmouth, we are now resourced to our establishment, which is 28 response officers plus the neighbourhood team. I've had 7, or by the end of this month, I will have 7 new recruits who will be by the end of this month on independent patrol, so fully deployable. However, I have lost a little bit of experience out the other end, so I've got 2 officers retiring in the next week, and another officer will be leaving to join CID. So it's not a total net gain, but I'm no worse off than I was. In fact, I'm slightly better off. I've also increased the neighbourhood team in Exmouth to 3 officers, although one is currently on maternity leave, but in number they are 3. Again, the flip side to that is I have lost a couple of PCSOs, and as you know, they won't be replaced. So when they're gone, they're gone at the moment. Unfortunately, we've lost Chantel Major from Budley, so he's going to be quite a big loss to that community. And I'm losing one of the Ottery PCSOs because he's joining the police, which, you know, is good. The organisation doesn't lose him, but Ottery does. The knock-on effect to Exmouth is that the Exmouth PCSOs may have to pick up some of his work, so it does impact across the area. But we're looking at sort of where we can redistribute the PCSOs to best serve the communities where they are most needed. So that's a really quick update by me on where we're at. The Christmas and New Year period was relatively quiet for us. No major issues. Unfortunately, the team had to deal with quite a few sort of distressing incidents as regards sort of sudden deaths and suicidal incidents and so on, which sort of goes with the territory this time of year, unfortunately. But as regards crime, pretty okay. Yeah. Is there any questions?
Right, thanks, Antonio. Rooster Sarin, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Antonio, thank you. I think that was an excellent update you gave us. I hope I didn't miss it, but I was looking at, do we have actually a prevention youth officer within each team? And if we do, will there be a prevention enforcement team available as an additional resource that could be called upon? Because I noticed that some other boroughs have actually gone into this area in order to support and back up the police, the service that they've got already. So that's really just my very quick question.
So is that something that is done in other areas?
Yes, I saw it done in Surrey when I just Googled it about the new policing. It came up in Surrey about this. They called it new methods of policing to help, you know, support the community.
So we have a sworn police, Simon Evans, who I mentioned as our youth intervention officer, and he's dedicated to a preventative role around youth offending. We have the youth offending team, who's a multi-agency team of police, probation office, social workers, who look at working with offenders once they've been dealt with by the court system and diverting them from offending. As regards a dedicated prevention team, that's not something that I am aware we're looking at, not certainly in that context, although we do have preventative measures across other areas of the business.
Bill, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, Inspector Weeks, thanks for that update. You always, and I try and pass on, so does Councillor Gazzard, after we've attended LAG, the minutes are sent. There's one thing I want to ask, though, that hasn't come up to LAG yet, and it's concerning the seasonal increase in shoplifting, which you get everywhere, and we certainly had, as you've said. Reports in the press, not local press, but national press and elsewhere, that prosecution services are not bothering to prosecute if the goods stolen are under £200 sterling in value. Does that influence you when you're called to shoplifting, which is presumably a much lower level of offence?
No, we haven't specified an amount or looked at it that way. We look at it more from a... We look at a number of factors. So we have a screening tool, if you like, for all crime, and it's intended to prioritise police resources where they're going to be most effective. So if someone notifies us of a crime and we perceive the risk to the victim to be low, there's no evidence to readily identify an offender, there's no likelihood of a successful prosecution, a number of other factors, whether it's in the public interest or the impact on the wider community. So it's a sort of screening tool that allows us to judge whether we should put police resources to that crime, and that's for all crimes, like shoplifting is no exception. So for example, if a shoplifting is reported to us and there's strong evidence to identify a known offender, and you know we do have persistent offenders, then we will screen that in, if you like, and we will put some resources to it. But you know we do get people phoning us up saying, "Oh, I think someone came in. I think they stole a leg of lamb, and I'm not quite sure who it was, and I can't describe them." Well, that's not going to go anywhere. So we'll still record it as a crime, but we won't actively investigate that. So it's got to have legs, basically, for us to investigate it. But we're not as crude as putting a value to it. Clearly, you know, a really low level, people always talk about, you know, theft of a Mars bar. Well, really. But, you know, And at the other end of the scale, if we were aware of a organised shoplifting gang stealing high value goods persistently, we would put proportionate resources to that. So it's a whole, you know, sort of raft of factors that we take into consideration.
Pauline, please.
I'll declare an interest because it is about me in a way, but unfortunately I was involved in a hit and run. I was nowhere near the car when it was hit, or van rather. And I went on the 101 number, and it took, 20 minutes I was on the phone, and I never got a response. So in the end it says go on the internet. Went on the internet. It's so complicated to actually find out where you put your...
Yeah.
So I tried to log it. The reason why I tried to log it was the fact that if we want something done to the highways, they always come back to the figures that Devon County Police Force have.
Yeah.
And if it's not logged, then they say, well, there's been no incidences on that road, so therefore we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And it came back from the police officer about a week later to say that they couldn't log it because it was not as an accident. So it couldn't be logged, and I just think there must be lots of hit and run accidents in roads, in certain roads that are run rat runs, that might, you know, benefit for Devon County, because we're saying, oh, there's been lots of, you know, hit and runs and that in a particular road, and they're saying, well, we've got no facts or figures for it because we get our facts and figures from yourselves. So I don't know how you get around that actually. It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not my real area of knowledge or expertise, but obviously the where someone's injured, that is always recorded, and it's injury accidents that predominantly affect the statistics around highways. So, for example, if two people bump into each other, even if they're both driving, and they sort it out between themselves, names and addresses exchanged at the scene, we don't have to know about that. And that probably happens all over the country, all day, every day. But where someone is injured, then there's a duty to report that to the police. So it's those reports and figures that are that influence highways predominantly.
Maddie, please.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Inspector. In answer to your question about things being on Facebook, about the police not being around, well, I think other councillors might like to know that the end of October, on going to bed one night, I noticed in a neighbouring house a torch. I did phone 999. I got three squad cars within the 10 minutes and with six police officers. We then realised, myself, the neighbours and the police, after a while, that the resident had fallen out with her family, come back early, but she hadn't paid the electricity bill, so she's running around the house with a torch. So we sorted that out. I would also like to reassure the inspector that, as councillors, when we start jumping up and down about the lack of police, it's no reflection on the inspector and the team of police that we have got here. It is just that if we do not keep the pressure up, we will find they will all go down to Plymouth or Totnes. And we feel that our police in Exmouth, as the largest town in East Devon, they should be entitled to more officers. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's it, I think.
Oh.
Thank you
tonight.
Very much indeed for coming along.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And please get in touch either, you know, individually or through council if you have any queries. I'm always happy to answer individual questions or about individual issues. So please do keep in touch. Thank you, and I'll be back again.
Okay. Thanks, Antonia.
Thank you.
Item six, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties and other local bodies, and a town clerk, town manager as appropriate. Planning committee, to receive the minutes of the meetings held on 20th of November and 4th of December.
Thank you, Chairman. I move acceptance of the minutes of the meetings held on the 20th of November and the 4th of December. I have no recommendations that need consideration. I so move.
Thank you very much. Seconder? Thank you very much, Brian. All those in favour? Thank you. Town Clerk's report, please.
Town Clerk report has been distributed in hard copy by email. Has anybody got any questions? I think it's fairly self-explanatory.
Bruce?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I was just concerned about the Clinton-Devon response, because I know that as a council, we had expressed concerns about the junction, but I wasn't happy with the comments in the last bit of the letter suggesting that we had an issue. So I just wondered whether it's something we should process face-to-face or how we should go about doing it, because clearly at some point during the day, that junction does have issues.
Lynn?
Yeah, I was going to say that I assume that what you meant from, because this came up at our group meeting, that you meant by pavement licensing rather than cafe licensing.
Yes, it is cafe pavement licensing.
Yeah, it's just it didn't have the word pavement and there was confusion we were talking about that. I just wanted that clarified.
Can I just say in respect of the Clinton-Devon that we have had a letter from the Highways Department that have softly corroborated the need for something to change, but they're saying that it would be considered as part of any future expansion of the business park. So I think at the time, which is what Clinton-Devon are alluding to, that at the time they apply for future phases of the park, I think there will be an audit by the highways team at Devon County, but I think Clinton-Devon have acknowledged that would be the time at which they would look to improve the situation. I think what their letter's saying is that they don't, that it's not appropriate for them to do anything at the moment. So. Yeah. And I did circulate the letter from the highways team separately when that came in before Christmas. I'm happy to recirculate that if anybody needs it.
Bill, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, on that particular point, this letter from Clinton-Devon Estates, I am very surprised where it say here, I liaise with our tenants of the business park on a regular basis, and both the fire and ambulance services have reported to me that they do not have major concerns about the junction. This is totally different from what the Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue Service present at the LAG meeting, where they are very concerned about it. It was following the LAG meeting, I'm sorry that Inspector Wings isn't here, that we also said as Town Council that we had concerns, the fire services do. The fact that the cost would go down to Clinton-Devon Estates for something to be done, I can partly understand their response, but it is still an accident waiting to happen. And I don't want to say it happening.
Muddy?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Town Clerk, Lisa, could you or have you heard what East Devon has decided on the licensing? Have they sorted it out between themselves yet, or should district councillors chase it up?
I haven't had any further input other than an email today to say that they're recruiting a new licensing manager following Mr. Saunders' departure. So. But I haven't had any further updates at all.
Right, so we need to chase that ourselves. Thank you.
Does that have to do with the stroke?
To do with licensing generally.
Licensing generally. Yeah.
Licensing of, street trading licensing.
Okay. Chairman, just on licensing, the point of information, they did advertise some time ago, about a month before Christmas, they only had one person apply, it was not suitable. So they've had to re-advertise again, as it might take them so long.
Right, thank you very much. Can I ask a question, please? With regards to the Strand then, with the new season coming on with event organisers, when are we going to get an answer of what's going to happen with regards to payment from commercial and charitable organisations?
That's what Councillor Chapman's alluding to.
Yes, Chairman. This is why I asked if the Town Clerk had had a report back from the Licensing Committee. If she has not, then I think us as district councillors will have to lobby at East Devon District Council and get some clarity before we get much further.
Thank you very much.
But this needs to be done within the month.
Yes, that's what I just said.
Okay.
May I make a suggestion, please,
Just a moment, please. Sorry, Bill?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, Town Clerk's report, second page. Now, I congratulate the Town Clerk and our staff for getting and having a new website upgraded to the extent that from 30 hits a day, we're now getting 350 hits a day. It's been a lot of work, quite torturous to get this going. Congratulations. And I think as much publicity that can be given to this, and for people in the town to know that there's a website now they can look at and find information, not only for themselves as living here, but particularly for relatives visiting. But congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. Brian?
Thank you, Chairman. City and Town Council have experienced the same problems with licensing that we've had, and they've since the problems began, they've had one or two successful events. So it may be an advantage if perhaps the clerk should speak to their clerk to see how they achieved it. Because they were quite, I spoke to the Seaton Council, they're quite content with the way it worked out and came to some arrangement, which is obviously in place for them. So theoretically, it should be in place for us.
Matty?
Yes, we, Town Clerk, did have an arrangement with the Beach Gardens for the Christmas cracker, and she got a good price for it. But that doesn't mean it's written in stone, and we want to see what's written in stone before we go any further into the year and all the events.
Thank you very much. LAG report, please. The notes of the meeting held on the 6th of December. Within that report, it does refer to the Exmouth Community College, and I attended an evening celebration of achievement for post 16 pupils there just last week, and it was a marvellous evening, the achievements that those young people have made, both working in this country and abroad. So there are a lot of good things coming out of the Exmouth Community College. Anyway, the LAG report, anybody got any? Bill, would you like to?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Inspector Weeks has already spoken about the figures and the very seasonal increase in shoplifting, which now will come down, but it had gone up 42%. The other burglary non-dwelling is sheds. There's still a lot of break-ins into sheds and barns. Remember, we're rural as well, and a lot of people have barns on the outlying area, so that's where a lot of thefts are coming from. But the most important thing that came up at that LAG, and it's important for us all to know, I was advised at that meeting that the PSPO system did not give the police the power to remove tents. Eventually, the tent went on the strand. We still have two tents in Gunfield Gardens that have been there for 3 weeks now, with people occasionally living in them. The PPSO gives the police the power to deal with the following. One, possession of intoxicating substances, including alcohol. Two, urination and defecation. Three, aggressive begging. Four, behaving in a way likely to cause harassment and intimidation. So although the police have tried with our tent dwellers around the town, the PPSO does not give them the power to move, although they did arrest someone for being drunk in a public garden outside a tent, but they can't actually move the tents on. So it was just clarification, because I, along with other councillors, thought the PPSO system coming in would completely give the police the power to act. It doesn't. There's nothing else, Chairman, to report on.
Thank you very much. Flooding and land drainage.
Yeah. Thank
you. Notes of the meeting on the 11th of December.
Just for noting.
Just for noting, yes. Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group, notes of the meeting on the 12th of December. Morning.
Can I just say, Chairman, that on the 22nd of January, we're going to have a meeting here, extraordinary general meeting, so that everybody can look through the draft neighbourhood plan before it goes to East Devon. Them to have a look through.
Thank you very much.
Probably be changed a lot after that.
So, make a note in your diaries.
Councillors have been emailed with a save the date for that date.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's to ratify
January.
The plan before it's formally submitted to the District Council. And you were emailed before Christmas.
It was at the last neighbourhood plan meeting, if you went.
Yeah. 22nd is neighbourhood plan. Nice.
We got planning.
District councillors' reports. Mm. Any district councillors wish to give a report, please? Pauline?
Yep. Right, I've got Universal Credit, which is going to hit Exmouth in September. And I don't know whether the councillors would like to hear about Universal Credit, those town councillors, because it's something which probably some of your residents might like to know about or might ask you about. So whether it would be worth having a session here, I don't know. You'd get Lizzie Garrett to come and give you a presentation. We've actually bought all 26 council houses, so we're 11 up in our stock at the moment, which is pretty good because not many councils in England have actually increased their stock. Down on the East Devon budget, at the moment it's still in there and we hope it will still stay in there, we're trying our best. £150,000 for Thea Park, the renewal of the equipment in Thea Park Skateboard Park, which is quite good as well. Let's see, anything else that you'd like to know about? You'd be pleased to know that a toilet at the bus station has now been redecorated. Well, I'm sure you'd like to know that because it was in pretty bad condition, wasn't it? So, yeah, I think that's all for me.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in December, members, I put through to the council, and I thank members here present for supporting me. We put forward a successful motion on getting increased broadband coverage, and I think some members will have received a letter today, which I could circulate to the entire council, saying that it's been taken up at the highest levels, and it is recognised as being an issue. So I must thank you all for your support, and that's basically what I did.
Thank you very much. County Councillor. Jeff.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies from Richard and Christine. We've now signed off 26 road traffic orders, which are yellow lines and waiting signs. We are in the process within the next 2 to 4 weeks to get the side of the road pavement from Exton to Exmouth pushed back, cleaned up, tidied, and the entrance to the town in Marine Way on the left-hand side where there's all that shrub and whatever, that's going to be removed. And then the wall, which is on the left-hand side, can then be repainted with new artwork from a local arts person in the town. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We come now to grant applications. Cherry.
Okay. I said previously I've got to declare that I'm a friend, if you like, of Brixton Community Church. They do a lot of work within the Brixton and, well, throughout Exmouth as well, anybody who comes and needs help. The first grant we've got is for the Parkinson's Society. Now, it reads as they're part of Parkinson's UK, but the figures that they have presented are for Exmouth and immediate area. I can't see that we can really refuse because they obviously do raise as much money as they possibly can, to help themselves, but they seem to be filling gaps where the NHS can't. For instance, they hire a physio to attend at some of their meetings, and the hall hire we've got, then they do group social meetings, and obviously the group social meetings, they pay some towards it. And then you've obviously got the carers and everything, and I really do think that they deserve the £500. They haven't come to us before, and perhaps we should just say it's their turn.
Brian, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I think there, but for the grace of God, go any of us. And I think it's a wonderful cause. I think we ought to support it.
Thank you very much. So, propose and second it. £500 grant to East End Support Grant, Parkinson UK. Those in favour? Those against? Carried. Thank you.
The second one is Brixington Community Church. They've got a reasonably new group starting up, which is aimed at people with young children and mothers and that could be possibly isolated in between, and they help them out during the school run. And as Reverend Atkinson has said, they have, through this group, found 7 families that needed extra help, and they've provided a support officer to talk them through the groups. And this is what they are providing. They provide the support workers, they put them in touch with the right people, and if it's housing or anything like that, they have got people there that the church actually pays for. So what they're wanting is, they started up this new group, and to be honest, they come in at the end of the cafe, Thursday morning cafes, and if they want anything, it's donation, but there is no set price, you know, for their drinks or anything like that. But the other thing that they do have is they've got some very dodgy looking leftover toys that these little ones are playing on. And so what they've very sensibly asked for is some help with replacing these toys, and they want some sensory cushions and a mat, play mat. Trust me, they've scrubbed that mat to death, you know, to wash it and that. And I would like to, even though I have a decided interest in it, I would like to propose that they also have the money.
Jeff?
Thank you, Chairman. Also got to declare an interest from Brixington Ward, and also as the Chairman of Brixington Improvement Group, the church do a hell of a lot of good work for the community of Brixington, and I would like you to support this application, please.
Right, we've got proposed, seconded. So, by all means.
Could I just say, you know, I mean, we have a large number of Brixington councillors here tonight. I'm afraid our numbers outside that ward are not great. I'd just like to say that, you know, knowing a little bit as a layperson from outside, I think the church does a lot of work locally among the community. It is well supported, and I think Reverend Simon Atkinson actually does a first-rate job. So I'd like to support that, and I appeal to my fellow councillors outside Brixington to do
that. Thank you very much. So it's proposed that a grant of £559 be given to Brixington Community Church for their parrot pop-in. Those in favour? Thank you very much. Unanimous. Budgetary control and authority to spend. We need authorisation for the payments listed there on your agenda, which are over the £2,000 limit. We have a proposal, please, Bill. Thank you. Thank you.
Second,
Brian. Thank you very much. All in favour? Thank you very much. We've already dealt with item 9, so we come now to item 10, to ratify the 2018-19 budget and the associated precept. You have the papers within your agenda items. Town Clerk, would you like to say anything about this?
Yep, certainly. So the budget is based on feedback that we had at the informal budget meeting. We've, as per the notes, we've adjusted each of the cost centre lines to take account of extraordinary items. And we've put in a rounding figure to go into reserves of £73,000, meaning that the total precept requirement that we have as a council is 747,843 pence. That works out at a bandy figure of £58.59, which, as you'll be aware, is the same as last year. So you're effectively precepting the same equivalent band D. In monetary terms, it's slightly less than last year. We precepted 748 last year, it's 747,843, and that's because our tax base has gone up ever so slightly. The £73,121,000 rounding figure, I'm assuming that councillors will want some of that to go into the sinking fund that you've asked us to put in hand towards a dedicated building for the town council in the future. There will be an adjustment at the end of this year. There'll be some money from the current financial year that will go into reserves as well. So I'm happy to recommend this as a sound budget for the council. I think there's enough in there, and it meets the council's requirement of putting some money into the sinking fund as requested.
Can I ask a question, please?
Certainly.
Under your notes, section 3, you've got £20,000 for economic development. Mm-hmm. Could you explain what that thing is?
So that comes under town management. So that would have been work that the town management project officer has done historically, on it, and it's on anything really that contributes to the economic development of the town. So that in the past, that's been things like the coach drivers pack that we've produced. It's been work that we did on the website, work that we did on Town Guide, you know, those sorts of things. So it doesn't go to anything specific, but it's a budget that enables the town management project officer to fulfil her role as it pertains to the economic development. So the other aspects, the other items in that under section 3 are where we've put specific allocations towards events such as the Christmas cracker or other events that the town management project officer used to organise. But the economic development is more of a sort of a general budget for the town management project officer to undertake projects that will contribute to the economic development of the town.
Bruce? Oh, right. Thank you. Pauline?
Can I just ask, if by any chance we decide to be dealing with the dinosaurs, have we got enough money to sort them out? If the worst comes to the worst, well, that comes out.
Yeah, so under the same section 3, we've put £10,000 in for the town team.
Yeah.
We've budgeted £10,000 in the current financial year, and they haven't spent a huge amount of that. They've spent a little bit of it, including some money going towards the refurbishment of the underpass project that Exmouth and Bloomer pioneering that Jeff mentioned. Obviously, there'll be a balance that's required to reinstate the dinosaur trail, and I would envisage that some of their allocation next year will need to go towards that as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Cherry, did you want to add anything?
No, I think this has explained that we know we've got some news. We've now got a new deputy town clerk, and obviously we've put the salary aside for this year. For Margot, she didn't join us until December, January. I'm just trying to think. So part of that money is left over, and you've said that because of the
Century Street cleaning team, yep, which is factored into the current year budget, but because we haven't recruited yet, that money's still sat there. And obviously that's been budgeted again for the coming financial year. So, yeah. So the extra staffing positions that you provided for last year are still in the budget for the coming financial year. But because we're quite late in recruiting, there will be some money that can go into reserves at the end of this financial year. And then over and above that, we've budgeted for £73,000 for next year.
So well, could I thank the people that have been involved with the preparation of the budget and ask for a proposal, please? Thank you, Lynn. A seconder, please. Tim, thank you very much. Those in favour? Thank you very much. The next item is regarding asset disposal.
Chairman, I didn't attend the town hall meeting. I haven't actually seen.
Whilst the papers are going round, I'll just give you the background. We had a town hall working party recently to regard disposal of some of the assets that we've got, because obviously we've got no chance of displaying all the materials we've now got in our new premises here in the town hall. And there is a list here of assets which are currently held and which we're suggesting would be disposed of. The money raised from these disposals we put into a sinking fund towards the hopeful cost of providing ourselves with a new town hall within Exmouth. Yep.
The membership of this this meeting is not complete. Councillor Steve Gardner was also there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Thank you very much. That is the intention.
Fair enough.
Yep. Yes, Lynn?
No, I was only going to ask, it says on here Barnstable Town Council Shield. I mean, does that not belong to Barnstable Town? Does it not go?
It has to be gifted to us at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, should we? It's tiny. Yeah, no, I know it's tiny, but I'm just wondering whether we should send it back to Barnstable. You know. I just wonder whether it, you know, on a sort of PR basis, whether we should send it back to Bond, you know, to ask them if they want it first. I didn't know if we should.
Can do.
Could be embarrassing when the other council buys it.
I just think usually if it, you know, in other organisations I've been in, if it belongs to somebody else, we offer it to them back first. I mean, it might be, you know, they don't want it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, out of courtesy, whether we should at least say to them, we've got it, we don't want it. Do you need, you know, do you want
noted,
it back?
Noted, yeah. Noted. Pauline?
I was going to say, Lord Nelson's last voyage picture, as Lady Nelson lived here, is it not a historical thing? I've never seen it, so I don't know what it comprises of.
It's horrendous.
Yeah, well, so was his last voyage. Well, so was his last voyage, because he never came back from it. All in one piece.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And I don't know. And a Dinan, yeah, Dinan picture that was given to them by the Twinning Association, and we still twinned with them, so would they not wonder when they come over where it's gone?
The twinning,
just thought of
the twinning
picture.
Bits and pieces, the certificates, the paper memorabilia we're proposing to take out of the glass frames and put them into a memory book, which will be permanently on display.
This is the Dean on picture. Yes. That's what I'm saying. You won't be able to take that out, will you?
I did suggest at the meeting that we were having a meeting of the Trading Association at night committee, and we discussed it there. And what I've agreed with Lisa is that three of the committee members, along with myself, have a look at the Twinning memorabilia and see what we would decide to do. One of the problems is that quite often these, when gifts were given, I mean, gifts are no longer given through the Twinning. I mean, what we do now is we donate to a local charity. But when they were given, quite often they were given to the people of Exmouth or whatever. So there is often a sort of a joint crossover. Mm. But my three colleagues and I will have a look at them, and then we'll talk to Lisa about that and carry on from there. Can I also say that I did express at the meeting I was a little concerned that we were going to very easily sell off part of Exmouth's heritage by selling these things. I mean, the railway, the so-called railway sign, which came off a West Country locomotive of the name Exmouth, I understand that that was actually bought by a previous town clerk at an auction, so it wasn't, that's my understanding. So it isn't really a part of our history at all, it wasn't gifted to us by anybody or anything like that.
It's probably so I can as an
see the proposal made going through and selling it as Rachel said, because there's a substantial amount of gold. I was a bit concerned also about the pictures, and I've been told by somebody who's a bit of a specialist on pictures that we do actually have one or two quite valuable pictures in our possession, but I'm not entirely sure because some are district owned and some are town owned. I'm not sure which they are.
We're on the move to get our two pictures back.
Oh, yeah.
I can promise one of them, the one way I look
at them.
So I'm hoping that.
Both of them that have been sent to East Devon, one of which is to do with Dame Mary Bridges, who is I mean, I have to say, I mean, I was told by East Devon they didn't think it was ours, but I have to say Dame Mary would be absolutely devastated if it was not given back to Exmouth, because it was actually given for the people of Exmouth, bestowed on her when she got her D, and she is still with us, she is still very much part of this town. And I have to be honest, you know, that really must be resolved fairly swiftly, otherwise I'm sure she'll make her voice known.
Next time I leave Stephen, I will go to see Mark Williams, and he promised it, and also the other one, and then if I have the name of the other one that you have, show me the picture of.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Well, Alan Cottonwood's in there.
Lisa?
So just to clarify that the reason they went back to East Devon District Council is because we obviously had an asset inventory of stuff that was in the premises when we took our lease for office space on the ground floor, and those items were on the East Devon District Council asset inventory as East Devon District Council owned assets. So when we vacated the building, when it was refurbished, we obviously had to leave everything in here that was on the original inventory of stuff belonging to East Devon District Council, and those pictures were left here. And then they were subsequently taken over to the Knoll on the understanding that they would come back, but they're not physically owned by the Town Council, which is why they've gone over to the Knoll on a temporary basis. They weren't. I don't think they were gifted to the Town Council. I think they were probably gifted to the old Urban District Council,
well,
I suspect.
Mary.
I don't know.
Dame Mary's the people of Exmouth.
I was going to say Dame Mary.
It's definitely
got
a plaque on it.
I would be very surprised if
Dame
Mary got her deed, which was 1974, when we were...
No, because I'm sure that
Chairman.
Pauline's next, sorry. Can they afford it?
They don't even know that it exists.
Well, they've got £25,000 in their back pockets.
Well, I don't know.
It's a venture item, there's no way the railway club.
No, not the railway club. I'm not talking about the railway club. I'm talking about the actual Great Western itself, the region of the station.
Maddie, please.
Well, it's so bloody tatty, I don't think they put it up. And I also think we will see how we go with the paintings, but I think the best thing we can do, as Lynn has probably got a contact number for Dame Mary, if we get in contact with Dame Mary, and she will then inform us on to who owns the painting, as she bought it. Yeah, but she gifted it, didn't she? Dame Mary Bridges gifted it.
The people of Exmouth.
Yes, did she mean the people of Exmouth or East Devon District Council or the town? I know what it says. What I'm trying to do is to find out from Dame Mary what she actually wanted.
Right.
I just, looked at this and take a photograph of it, and you can have these photographs. The name, the plaque on this Alan Cotton picture actually says, presented by friends and organisations of Exmouth to commemorate the honour of DBE bestowed on Dame Mary Bridges in January 1981.
And I have to
say, it wasn't Town Council.
My recollection is that we all actually contributed from the organisations to recognise her honour. You know, the organisations within Exmouth, but I'm happy to.
When did the town council take out its lease on the premises here?
Oh,
yeah,
not
no,
it was 1995.
Yeah, so that's there's your answer. You see, the town council wasn't in existence when that painting was gifted. So it was gifted to the occupiers of the building, I guess, at the time, which is the district council, which is why. So I don't think that's disputed, which is why I think it's gone back to the district council for safekeeping. But the reason it's not an asset of ours is that the town council was not in existence at that time.
Right, Bill?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just to summarise, of the 80-odd different items that were photographed and then studied by the people that came along to this meeting, it was invited all councillors to come along. We are keeping most of the things, although we have very little space in this building when we move back. We can't display anything in here that would be within our own premises, hence why a lot of the things will be taken out of frames and put into a book for keeping so we can have it and people will see. There's a couple of items that haven't been mentioned, just to assure you. And that is the chair, the chairman's chair and the vice chairman's chair. We felt, and the committee did, that the working party, that these should be kept because one day in our own premises we might use them. The trouble is they're very large and it costs quite a lot of money to store properly. They're downstairs in the basement at 44 at the moment and deteriorating. Good news is we've found storage for them, free of charge. Friends at the Blackmore Theatre are going to store them, the two chairs, for us. When they asked me, well, it won't be too long, will it? I said, no, probably not. I said, it won't be a matter of months, more like years and years, but they're going to store them and they're going to be moved there. The rest of the items, of the 80-odd items not appearing on this list for disposal, are going into our new premises in this building on the first floor and ground floor.
Thank you very much. Could I now take a proposal that we accept the recommendations on the disposal of these assets, please, with those caveats? Can I have a proposal? Thank you, Brian. Second, Bruce. Those in favour? Thank you very much. Those against? Carried. Thank you. We now come to consider a proposal to refurbish the council's finger posts. There is a report attached to your meeting notes.
So, as you will see, Veronica Boatman's done quite a lot of work on auditing the state of our finger posts, and they are in various states of disrepair. We'd like to get them refurbished before the Easter holidays, the start of the summer season. You'll be aware that some of them, some of the fingers have actually been dislocated from the posts in recent months, and a couple of them ended up on the beach. They have been quite prone to vandalism because the grub screws need drilling out. We need to put more robust screw structures in. But what we'd like to do is take the opportunity to sandblast them all, have them all re-powder coated, and then have new thread inserts put in. So that then you know they're nice and tidy and spruced up for the start of the summer season. We've got the we haven't managed to get three quotes. We've managed to get two quotes. There's quite a lot of disparity between the two prices. But added to that, we have had a conversation with Tom Vaughan at the County Council, and we think that this project will be eligible for funding. Through the Community Enhancement Fund that Richard Scott spoke about at the last council meeting. So I'm asking for approval to expend a maximum of £9,000, but obviously that's the absolute maximum. It's possible that that will be partially funded through the Devon County Council Community Enhancement Fund. And we have that funding available in the current year budget under the town management cost centre line. What we'd really like to do is approval to spend that maximum amount of money so that we can get on with it and not delay any further.
May I ask what your quotes are, please?
So the quotes are on the report that was circulated. So there are some costs that we've basically got.
It's on their bill.
Yeah, we've got two separate costs for removing the fingers and then reinstating them and once they've been refurbished, and that's where the cost disparity is. The cost for powder coating them, painting them, is the same regardless of which supplier removes and reinstates. The cost disparity is in the removal and reinstatement. So total cost if you use one supplier were just under £6,000 and just under £9,000 if you use the other supplier. Having said that, we're going to go back to one of the suppliers because we're not sure if they've underestimated the amount of labour involved in removing them and reinstating them, which is why I'm asking for approval to spend a maximum of £9,000, which is the higher of the two quotes, because we know we can get the work done for that cost. And then obviously we'll do a little bit more due diligence and get best value for money. And as I said, there is a strong likelihood that the County Council will contribute to these costs through its Community Enhancement Fund anyway, so the net cost of the council would be lower.
Brian, please.
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we accept the £10.
Muddy?
Can I just ask, Lisa, is it black and grey or...?
So the finger posts are, they're painted black, and then the lettering, the raised lettering, is a silver colour. So
right.
They would be done in the same style that they've been done, that they've been done previously. But on the report, I think you can see that they're in quite a poor state. You know, the paint's chipped. And
No, it's just that part of it. It's
like
grey and rusty. And I thought grey. I thought they were black.
So they're black, but. The metal underneath, and what's happened is where the paint's chipped
away,
you can see the grey substrate poking through effectively.
Okay, that's fine.
We have a proposal, and I'll second, please. Second, Jeff, those in favour? Thank you very much. Item 12, to discuss and agree whether the Regeneration and General Purposes Committee should be reinstated. And if so, the frequency, remit, and membership of the meeting. This is agenda item 13, and you've got a paper here at the with the agenda setting out the background to this request and also the things to consider. Lynn, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. We discussed this quite fully within our group, and we felt that rather than have a separate regen and general purposes committee, the town council agenda should have every other meeting, have part of the meeting set aside to discuss issues that may have been raised at the GP or regen committee, because we have got a regen and GP lead councillor and deputy lead councillor, but we aren't actually discussing items that previously were covered by that committee. However, we didn't feel we wanted the duplication that we had before, which was part of the reason that we had the problems, that it was we were recurring, that we were discussing them at every meeting with the same items. So our proposal would be that the town council agenda is changed so that it would include items that should have fell under that particular committee every other meeting.
Thank you very much.
The suggested ones would be, what I've come up with was February, the next meeting, regen, the one after that, finance and so on. So that it would assist with the budget for the following year before Christmas, so that we could have two meetings for finance before December.
You've already agreed with full council that you're reinstating the finance committee on a quarterly basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those meetings have been put into the meeting forward calendar for the finance meeting. So there wasn't a suggestion that we were going to start adding finance committee items to the full council agenda.
No, it's just if there was something that came up for finance, and on the finance between August and November, we needed to have because this the last year, we did ask for a finance meeting for council before tonight to go through the budget, which we didn't do.
So we had a finance meeting in November, and then we had, as a request from that, was that we had an informal cross-party budget meeting, which we had. I mean, we can have a separate finance budget meeting, but I think that's separate to whether it wasn't proposed.
It was on the town council agenda, Chair. Yeah. The proposal was that it was felt that because we had the informal meeting and we had information since that time, it probably would have been better to have discussed it before town council this evening, that there was issues that we may have asked questions on and we may have wanted more information about, which would have saved time at this meeting when your budget setting and setting the precept, that it may be useful for members to discuss before to full council, because they may have particular finance issues.
Yeah.
But it was only to say that there should be a finance meeting prior to the budget town council precept setting meeting, but not that it was part of the town council general, as in regen and general purposes, if that clarifies.
So if you can leave me to put the RNGP item on alternate council agendas, and I can start with the February one.
Please could it not be in February, because I've got my eye operation and March, unfortunately, we haven't got a full council meeting because it's an annual one, isn't it?
Right, thank you very much.
If I can also comment myself and report back on Liberal Democrat discussions on this as well. We actually felt that the current situation is working quite well in terms of the former RNGP items, because some of us were a little bit worried when it was abandoned, but it does seem to work well. I mean, clearly, if the new proposal from the Conservative group is that we have every other or whatever meeting taking on board items. fine, we'll try and work with that. Are we going to put in a review period for that in the same way, an annual review or something to...
Did you want to propose
well,
that
I'd
we...
Well, I'd like to propose that as an amendment if it isn't already been proposed.
So it's proposed that we have a review period, perhaps? Muddy?
Yes. Just to clarify, Tim, I think the reason that some of us felt that we should have it back is that we don't seem to get members of groups that have had grants or anything coming back, giving us a presentation, telling us how they're getting on, what they want to do in the future, what they're going to ask us for, you know, in the way of support. And we used to get that quite a bit. We don't get that. And a lot of the new councillors don't know who the chairman of some of these authorities are. Like, do we know what centre stage are going to put on next year? Do we know what equipment they're looking for? Do we know what support we can give them, be it monetary or anything else, you know? I think it was an idea of interacting more.
Pauline?
Can I just say it's not just about the charities and about getting them back. It's about other things which might go on in the town, which we need to discuss as a council. You know, some things that crop up within the town, which... and not discuss it in this meeting, which we don't have so much debate on it, put it that way. And sometimes some of the things might come that we send letters to various people because we want some action done.
We already get letters of thanks from people that we do give grants to. They do acknowledge the fact that we've assisted them, although we may not actually see them. Right.
We don't know what's coming in the future, that's what I mean. We don't get a chance to interact properly and find out what they mean, isn't it?
So, would you wish to put that as an amendment, Tim?
I will propose as an amendment a one-year review.
One-year review. Mm.
Seconded
by Bill. All those in favour? Thank you very much. That concludes this evening's meeting. The date of the next meeting is Monday, the 5th of February, 2018. Thank you very much for your attendance.